I bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Thankful that we can gather together again this morning in freedom here in the United States and worship the Lord together. Thank you, Brother Dale, for your prayer and sharing with us. It was a privilege and a joy sharing this morning with you, and it's wonderful to have you and your wife, Christine, and daughters here today. And it's wonderful to have each of you here. Whether you're a member here or a young person that's not a member or a visitor, we welcome you and we want to look to God's Word for a message today. I was very thankful for one phrase we sang this morning. It sort of acts as a jump start, as a confirmation. And I just thrill in my heart when that happens. So I want to thank you, Brother Matt. Number 210, for Christ in the church, let our voices ring. Let us honor the name of our unblessed King. Let us work with a will in the strength of youth. Thank you, brother. We also sang this morning, all is vain, unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down and visits us. Oh God, be merciful today and visit your people with your Spirit where we are weak and helpless without you. Don't leave if you're married or older, but I feel led this morning to speak especially to the young people, especially those that are not married. But I believe the Word of God and the message this morning indeed will apply to every heart and to every life. I would entitle this message, The Great Potential of Youth. I want you to think about that this morning. And I don't want you to think, I want you to stop right now if you're already thinking, oh, he's going to pick on us. That's not why I'm here this morning. And I would not single a message out toward a certain group if I didn't have a compassion and a heart and a burden for that group, a love. So believe me or not, that is why we are preaching the great potential of youth. It's meant to be an encouragement. It's meant to be a directional, an instructional. And so I trust and I pray this morning that you will take it as such. And we want to highlight several verses out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Brother Dale read 15 through 22. Now when the Apostle Paul penned these words as directed by the Holy Spirit, as most believe the Apostle Paul certainly wrote this letter to his spiritual son Timothy, it's the second time he has written him. He is in prison at this moment of the writing of this letter, and he knows he is awaiting execution. As Paul writes these words, he knows it's his final instruction to his spiritual son Timothy, and to all who would be blessed with the preservation of God's word from that time forth. In chapter 4 and verse 6, we have this proof that Paul knew that this would be his last writing. Indeed, it was the last letter that he would write that we have in the New Testament. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is now at hand. Paul knew his time was very short. He was in a dungeon, and his only access to the outside world was about an 18-inch square hole in the ceiling. Anything that came to him or was sent from him entered and exited that hole. And this letter of 2 Timothy exited that hole of the dungeon that Paul spent these months in. And it was in the fall of the year, no doubt, and a few months later, maybe 4 or 5 or 6, he was beheaded. He was executed for his faithfulness to Jesus Christ, to the gospel. So Paul knows his time is short, and when you think about it, you know, when people die, loved ones just cling and try to remember and write down those last words a lot of times that a loved one spoke. And maybe there was final instruction, maybe final concern shown for those that would be left behind. And so let's keep that in mind as Paul writes to his spiritual son Timothy here. In verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, study. Study. Be zealous, the word means. Be diligent. Study, be zealous, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Give it total effort. Give it your heart. Study. Be zealous about it. Give it your heart, young people. You have no problem putting your heart into things. When you make your mind up that you're going to catch that ball, you put your heart into it, don't you? And you give it your all. And you're focused on that one thing. You want to catch that ball above all else. So you know what we're talking about this morning. Paul says, study, be zealous, put your heart into it. The study of God's Word. Please bear with me, young people. It might not be the subject you tend to think about. Or maybe you do. God be praised. But I want to challenge you this morning that you would go away from this place thinking more about it. Right now, young people, you have the sharpest mind you will ever have. You have the greatest ability right now to study, to understand, to comprehend the deep truths of God's Word. You're not too young for that. If you're in your teens, or whatever age you are, to understand the Word of God, to know it, to study it. This is one, young people, that is worth it all. You know, life goes on, and it doesn't really matter if you actually caught that ball, and it's in your glove, and the out's been made, or whether it dropped, and the batter scored a home run, and you lost the game. It doesn't really matter. It pales in comparison with the spiritual. With your spiritual life before Christ, young people. Your life with Christ. Your knowledge and understanding and willingness to accept and live by the Word of God. So study, young people, study. Be zealous about it. Be diligent. That you might be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Not taking out of context, not twisting, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. That Word that can guide your life into much fruit and joy and happiness in the Lord. Know your Bible. I'm looking for the young person who's not afraid this morning to be known as a Bible freak. Or what did they call him? A Bible thumper. One that's a little odd and it is kind of apart from the peer group. And is more interested in Bible study and maybe going to church more regularly than to just be hanging out. Just to spend another evening to get it to pass by without being alone. And so you buddy up, and there's times for that. I'm not against any of you young people. This morning I want to challenge you to new heights. Maybe to new direction. To new focus. Something that will be more genuine in your life and give you more deep soul satisfaction than that which you have been pursuing. Yes, I'm looking for the young person this morning that's willing to be a bit odd, a little old-fashioned, and you're not afraid of it, and you're not afraid if others think differently of you or snicker. I'm looking for you this morning to lead the way, because Not everyone this morning, not every young person is going to have that courage, even though they know they ought to get more serious about God and His Word. They're not courageous enough to lead the way because there are those around them that are standing still. They need you this morning, the one that has courage, has that kind of a personality that you're willing to go ahead and guess what? They're ready to follow. But they need you to step out. And so I'm looking for a young person this morning. Young persons who will lead the way to more godliness, to a life of holiness. Something much greater than the average that the young Christian experiences. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Know the Scriptures. Know your God. Know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Know truth. Know your theology, young people. Know what is true of God. Know your doctrine. Know what the New Testament teaches. Young person, this morning, my challenge is, can you defend your faith? Can you face the scorner? Can you face the atheist? Can you face anyone out there that is wanting to throw you off and to cast you down from your Christian moorings? I want you this morning, young person, to be able to stand, and having done all to stand, and to face them head on with answers from God's Word. Because God's Word is truth. And not only must you be willing to defend it and stand on it, it'll make you stronger, but they, the person that's challenging you, and it could even be another young person. Maybe it's from the world, young people you work with. They think maybe that it's silly the way you conduct your life as a Christian. You need to be able to act on that. You need to be able to answer. They need it as well as you. Confirmation of the truth. We need young people who know what they believe, who are grounded firmly on God's Word. You can influence a youth that is wavering, who is ready to question God's Word, whether it is truth or not, and whether it is really important to follow, or whether we should just discard it. You could make the difference, young person, by being strong and knowing the Word of God in the life of one who is weak, right there around you. Yes, study. You're very busy. You have a lot of energy and ambition, and you're going this way and that. A lot of activities that are not wrong. Take time to study. Take time to be serious with the Lord now. And defend your faith. Young people, you have great potential to learn, to understand. You have great potential right now, young people, greater than you ever have, to memorize God's eternal word. Yes, memorize. You have great potential. You will never find it as easy later in life as you find it now to memorize God's Word, to hide it in your heart. Go to Psalm 119 with me, please. We read there, you know, Psalm 119 is amazing. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. The amount of verses right now escapes me, but among all those verses, I think only three of them do not mention the Word of God. Now, there are synonyms like precepts, commandments, the law, but they all refer to the Word of God. Psalm 119. Let's see how many verses it does have. 119. Goes the whole way to verse 176. Let's look a little bit this morning at verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. My challenge to you this morning, young people, is to memorize God's Word. and then to meditate on it and allow it to saturate you to the point that it makes a difference in your life. And when temptation would come, instead of plunging right into that or going along with the crowd to wherever or into whatever it would be, that the Word of God would prick your conscience and you would remember what it is telling you. Whoa, hold on. This is something that is sin, and I don't need to give in to this temptation. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal? By what way? By what means shall a young man or a young woman cleanse their way? By what process? By what help? What is going to help a young person to be clean, to be pure, to live a holy life that is pleasing to their holy Lord? Wherewithal? In what way? How can I do it? How can I cleanse my way? And the answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so, young people, the challenge this morning is that you would know that word. You are capable of not only memorizing verses. Young people, this morning, you are capable of memorizing complete chapters. In fact, you are well capable of memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, the way a Christian should live in this earth, in this world. You are capable of memorizing Romans 6. You can add Romans 7 and chapter 8 to it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Memorize God's word. What do you think Jesus' defense was after he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights? And he was in the wilderness and he was, you know, in that weakened condition, and that's when Satan attacks. What is your defense going to be? Three times Jesus Christ answered the enemy, the devil, with the word of God. And he stood firm. And you and I need that same defense. We need that same strength around us, the Word of God. With my whole heart, verse 10 of Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The psalmist is pleading with the Lord that he would keep him in the center of his will and in his word. Oh, that needs to be our desire today. And then verse 11, thy word, O God, your word, have I hid within my heart. Why, young person? That I might not sin against thee, my God. It is our defense, it's our strength, it's our power to hide the word of God within us, that it might come to the surface right in that moment of need. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. That is, you've memorized it. Not only that, you've meditated on it, so that a month later you can still quote it. You know, we can memorize something for a test and weeks later stumble and just stutter along and can't get through it. But to truly hide God's word in our hearts, we will know it in and out, and we will continue in it, and it'll become a part of us. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Another synonym for the word of God. Statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments. Another synonym of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Another synonym for the word of God. Testimonies. As much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself. Young people, delight thyself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Maybe you're thinking it's time adults showed us that it's truly a delight to be in God's word. And maybe that is a challenge to all ages. I believe it is this morning. How shall a young man, a young woman cleanse their way? How can they be pure and clean? By listening to God's Word. God's Word is going to guide your conduct, your behavior, your manner of life, your lifestyle, your relationships. And those relationships might be boy-girl, young man, young woman. Young men, give me ear for a little here. When it comes to a relationship with a lady, with a young woman, don't just follow the passions of your flesh and see one and think, oh boy, there's where I'm headed. My challenge to you this morning is pray. Pray, pray, month after month after month, for years maybe it'll take. I don't know how long it'll take. But young person this morning, pray and pray and pray. Outside of the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, young person, you are going to make the most, probably the second greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And it's going to go a long way to determining whether you live a fruitful, joyous life in Christ or not. Or maybe a life of misery and regret and trouble. Pray much about it. First thing isn't to see someone and then just go up to them and chatter, 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 and do you want to go here or there? You need to get on your knees before God and pray much about this great time in your life. And after you've prayed much, months, years, then what are you going to do? I suggest at that point, if you feel led of the Lord that the Lord is indeed bringing a young lady into your life, you are now ready to go to her father. And you talk to him. And see what he thinks about this momentous decision in your life. Is that too hard? Well, it would just serve you right if she would force you to do that. Young ladies, as a godly Christian girl, you're not asking the man. You're not even making yourself obviously available in a flirt, in a flirting, bold, showy way. You're behaving yourself like a lady. With a quiet and a meek spirit. And the godly young man will take notice to such and will be led of the Lord to such after much prayer. Young ladies, you have the easy part. You're not doing the asking. And when that young man comes asking you, you have it easy. Tell him who to go talk to. It's not your decision. Old-fashioned, praise God if it is. It's the safe way, and it's the blessed way. Tell that young man, if he hasn't already asked your father, go and ask him. See what he thinks of you. You'll find out if you measure up with father or some other authority in the girl's life. I realize the mother may not be there. But there is somebody. Godly young lady, you're not going to waste your teenage years fixated on one young man. Meanwhile, you shut out all other relationships. You forget about your girlfriends. And you can't even see around you anymore because you're so fixated on that one object who has come storming into your life No, young ladies, you are going to have relationships with other young ladies of godly character who are memorizing scripture or who are studying God's word, who are serious about their young life. You're going to have a quiet and a meek spirit. You're going to dress in a way that the young man will never be attracted to your body. Did you catch what I said? You will never dress in a way that you're trying to catch the attention of a young man to notice your body. You will never dress that way. As a godly young lady seeking the Lord. If you want to have a joyous, happy, lifelong marriage, keep your hands off your friend. Yes, totally off. Stop arousing the flesh. Stop offering that which is illegal and can't even be offered after all. That is off limits. If this is going on, touchy-touchy, can't keep your hands off the other, you're not mature, and you should not be seeing anyone. I say these things this morning because I love you and I want the best for you. Get your relationship on a spiritual level or you'll end up in sin and disaster. And by the way, it doesn't just become sin when fornication is committed. Many of these dating relationships are sin way before that. And you know it. You know when they are. It's a sinful relationship way before the physical act of fornication. If you and your friend can't keep your hands to yourselves, you are in a lustful, sinful relationship already. Not that a sinful relationship will come, it is already there. True love will wait for marriage in order to begin that physical relationship and the arousing of the flesh. When courting, spend your time praying for each other. Memorize scripture together. Study God's word together. Get first things first, young people, and build a spiritual relationship. And you will ever be thankful all your life that you started it that way. Do yourself a favor and get first things first. You may be looked at as strange if you devote your young life to studying and loving the scriptures and passing on the dating game where you get hurt, where the other gets hurt. And sometimes it takes years to get over those emotional difficulties. But this is going to be the key to realizing your great potential as a young person with energy and strength and years before you to serve the Lord. As a young couple, if you build a spiritual relationship and keep pure for the marriage altar, you will have tremendous potential for the Lord and the church as a married couple. And don't take me wrong this morning. I know sins can be forgiven and God be praised, He does, and lives can be rebuilt. But my challenge to you this morning is to not go there. Don't listen to the enemy. Be strong from the get-go for the Lord. Some young people have the notion that they need to be in the dating game because so many of their friends are. That's pretty flimsy footing for doing something. Some feel inferior. And so they are anxious to make whatever catch they can. And in doing so, they drop their standards and they forget about spirituality when meeting that other person, because they are so anxious to be having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, because all their friends do. They don't want to be left behind. It would be a good time to be left behind. Do yourself a favor, young person, and get this must-date notion out of your mind, and instead cultivate a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and become strong enough to handle a time of courting and being led to marriage later on in life. Save yourself and others a lot of hurt by doing it this way. Pray that God would reveal the one for you, if indeed you are to get married. Maybe you're not to get married. Maybe you are. It's not for everyone. When you are single, you are as free as you'll ever be to serve the Lord. Your potential is great, young person, as a volunteer, as a short-term missionary. There is much that you can devote your young life to, and the Lord will bless you for the rest of your life if that's the route you take. Testimonies could be given this morning by those who listened to the Lord and they gave up a year or 2 years or whatever. And the place they are in life now is a result, and they are blessed and they are full of joy. They've allowed the Lord to lead them. Seek God for what to do with your tremendous energy and ambition that I know you have. Let the Lord take those ambitions, those energies, those talents that the Lord has given you, the skills He has given you, and let the Lord show you what to do with them for His honor and glory. In short, seek first, young people, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And let the Lord add to your life. And He just might add that very special someone that is of His choosing and that is of His will. And it'll be of the Lord and it'll work. And you will have many years to thank the Lord and to be thankful that you waited on the Lord. Three more verses there from 2 Timothy, and I'll wrap this up. I know it's getting late. I appreciate your good attention. Back in 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, verses 19 to 21 here say, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that is, set apart for the Lord, and meet, that is, useful for the master's use." If we purge ourselves, if we stay clean, we will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, meet, made useful for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So there's the potential of being a vessel unto honor or a vessel unto dishonor. And it's so important at a young age to make our minds up and go in the right direction so that we might be building a vessel of honor for the glory of the Lord, useful for the master. We are called, every one of us in this building, not just young people, to be vessels of honor. To realize your potential as a vessel of honor. Your life needs to be purged of iniquity, sin, and too many things of little value. Too many things. Allow the years of youth to be a preparation time. Choose singing for a lonely person. in place of a movie, and God will bless your life. It's all in the choices we make. We choose whether to feed the flesh or to feed the spirit. We choose whether to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." There are things you don't need, young people. I had an old clunker when I first dated my wife, Christine, when I first courted her. I warned her that if we hit a mud puddle during a thunderstorm, some water might come up. And it did. I thank God she kept dating me, kept courting me. The word courting is much better. We need to understand what we're saying there. But there are things you don't need. There are things that are just pulling your money away. Financial drains, young people. And later, if you are married later, there's going to be unnecessary strain on your relationship with your spouse because of financial difficulty that could have been averted had you saved when you were young. You don't need the hot rod. You don't. If the car runs from point A to point B and usually gets you back to point A, it's good enough. If it stops, you're young enough to walk. And there are other things we really don't need. Now, I imagine every one of you young people thinks you definitely need a cell phone. How on earth would you live without it? Well, they weren't even around when I was your age. How did I make it? Now, my point is this. Some people text all day long. And it's a lot of waste of time. And your employer might not even be too highly of it. Another thing. You know as well as I know. I know this from young people's experiences. I've never had a cell phone, but you can get pornography on it. And you also get your little personal computers. And you get the internet. And you get pornography there. And this is slowly but surely destroying your life. Spiritually. And as a Christian. You don't need those things if they're tearing you down. Make not provision for the flesh. If you can't handle those items, if you can't handle those things, please get rid of them. Please. If you can't do it, tell somebody else to take a sledgehammer and get rid of what you can't get rid of. You could be saving your life for all eternity and spend it in heaven rather than hell. It's that serious. And so I must put it to you that seriously. There are things that simply aren't being handled properly for a victorious Christian life. It could be music. It could be nakedness that we subject ourselves to. At any rate, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Right now is a preparation time, young people. Bible reading, study, memorization, honoring parents, following, as verse 22 tells us, righteousness, faith, charity, peace, so that you can be victorious when the day of testing comes. Joseph just didn't all of a sudden get the energy and power divine and spiritual to flee from a beautiful woman who wanted him to lie with her. That was built in Joseph's life. And that's my challenge this morning, young person. Begin today by building a spiritual life that you can stand victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.